Hello, hello, and welcome. Today we're going to be discussing the Gao et al. Article from 2020 about fly sex and death and the neuromodulators that regulate these systems. So just an overview on what they studied. They looked and put flies into a tube with different sorts of conditions, such as levels of food, levels of mating partners, and light conditions, in order to see if there were differences in survival rates and or reproduction rates. And without further ado, let's get into the results. So they saw that nutrition was pretty important. They saw that it matters when it came to how much mating is done, as well as overall survival rates. They still saw that death was inevitable, but at least nutrition would kind of help with keeping them alive just slightly longer, for reasons we'll kind of discuss later. But I guess to add to these results, how about we ask a fly themselves? So, you still on the line there?
Yeah.
Alright, so, name, place? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, my name is Jimmy, and I'm a fly from Utah, so, yeah, nutrition's pretty important. Just like you guys need nutrition, we do too. We use energy when we do these kinds of things, which I would assume is pretty similar to you guys. So yeah, I mean, doesn't seem too different though. Yeah, for sure. So anything else you kind of want to add?
Nah, thought it was pretty interesting.
All right, cool. See you around.
See ya.
So that was pretty interesting. So I guess we can move into the second part to look at the kind of neuromodulators that are involved with sexual behavior and how they can kind of control and prevent excessive sexual behavior from kind of happening. So what they found was that they saw that acetyltransferase was involved, which kind of leads to the production of acetylcholine, which then mostly for the purposes of this study, was responsible for a lot of excitatory behaviors in the brain. And then we also see that there was GAD1 being involved, which leads to GABA, the main inhibitory neurotransmitter involved. And then as well as NPF and how that's expressed, which is basically a form of reward signaling in flies. And what they found was that all of them kind of modulate and regulate to respond to these levels of excessive sexual activity. And why they do that? It's because that flies are semoparous, which means after one kind of sexual act, they kind of die. So yeah, they use these systems to kind of help modulate and kind of control these behaviors for the most part. So yeah, kind of leading into the third part then, we see that, again, these sorts of neurotransmitters and neuromodulators help try to respond and repress not only sexual behavior, but also courtship behaviors that these flies kind of show, and hopefully prevents semoparity and helps them not die. So what they found was that in terms of excitatory acetylcholine, they saw that excessive sexual activity kind of reduced those excitatory signaling, as well as increasing the GABA inhibitory signaling. And then the reward center for flies, the NPF, that expression also increased. So pretty interesting findings in how that kind of works. And what's really interesting is that we can find it in humans. So one of the big questions here is, how do we relate it to humans? We don't really die when we perform a single act, yet we kind of have these very similar systems. So what's up with that? Why are us and flies that different, even though we have similar parts, we have different functions? So I guess now would be a good time to talk to our second guest. Hello, you are on the line. Hi, I'm Phil, resident fly in a resident house. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Phil?
Good, how are you? So, these results that we see, how would you explain it in terms of, you know, in terms of a fly?
Yeah, so it's pretty funny. All in all, we see that we do have the same parts, we do have different functions, but I guess the main difference comes in the form of us dying after we perform these acts, and you guys not. So there's definitely differences, and I guess how these systems kind of stop and repress sexual behavior, because for us, I mean, they try their best to prevent us from dying, but more often than not, we go our separate ways and go, whoop. So I guess for you guys, I mean, how do you guys, I guess, roll with these things?
Yeah, good question. I mean, overall, I guess, since we do use energy too, kind of helps us control how much sexual behavior or sexual acts that we kind of do over time. I mean, that would be my best guess. Might not be the perfect one, but probably makes the most sense, considering that, you know, after that we still are alive, but we may or may not be tired and have to wait a while before we can go again.
That's pretty interesting. So, yeah, that's really interesting to know. So, yeah, I mean, again, for us, it's one and done. We go. So, I guess for us, it just stops us sometimes from dying. But, I mean, we still have to eat. We do still use energy. So, I just wonder, do you think there may be differences in energy for you guys and us flies?
Yeah, I'd say there possibly could be. But that's definitely something for at least either them or us to kind of look at in the future. But yeah, nice having you. Nice talking with you.
Yeah.
See ya.
All right, see ya. All right, guys, I think that's all for today. So hopefully you learned a few things from that. Hopefully you had a good time listening to our little fly buddies there. And hopefully your day is off to a flying start. See ya.